Listen easy, you can hear God calling, walking barefoot by a stream.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Thank you, Elvis. We usually play that beautiful song written by Neil Diamond at this point in each week's show. As I mentioned earlier, the new Because I Said comic strip has Dad doing Elvis, so you got to check it out at brucesalen.com. It's sort of cute. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. It is, as always at this time of the show, time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Hello, Bruce.
So, are you cool in your kids' eyes?
You know what? I couldn't care less.
Oh, okay. So and, that gives me a hint about what you think about this topic.
Yeah. Well, you know,
come on, out with it, Wayne.
Yes. Well, look, we both know that the real point behind all this is it important to be cool? And is it really about being cool or just being connected and being open and, you know, having a relationship with your kids? And I think that you can do that any number of ways. But I think that if your objective is to be cool with your kids, you're off the mark.
On that, I would certainly agree. And in fact, what we've talked about a lot is that too many parents today seem more interested in being their kid's best friend than being their kid's best parent. And that goes hand in hand with the whole notion of caring about whether you're cool or not.
Yes. You know, you're such a social networking, you know, maniac. You love to talk about that stuff, and it's a big part of your life, and it's a big part of a lot of people's lives, granted. And it's certainly
Did you call me a maniac?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, that was a fair characterization.
I'm glad that you agree.
Anyway, go on.
So there are ways to communicate with your kids, and there are things that you can have in common, for sure. But more importantly, as a parent, you're modeling behavior, and we still have to send messages to our kids about the fundamentals and what it means to have a relationship and what it looks like. And you know, if you're going to text back and forth because it's an easy way to communicate with the kids, that's fine, that's okay. But there's so much more to it, and if you concentrate on being cool, and you're concentrating in my mind, being cool is a bit manipulative. It's not necessarily authentic. And I think we need to be authentic in who we are. It doesn't mean we can't have a relationship with our kids, but we don't have to like everything they do, and we don't have to pretend that we enjoy what they do. We just have to love them and enjoy the fact that they're enjoying themselves.
Well, I think that's very well said, Wayne. I do like very much, though, the point you made on break with me about the comment that one reader made on the column and your reaction to it. Would you care to share that with our listeners?
Well, one of the guys just loved everything you wrote, and I know you love guys like that. I just love everything you wrote, Bruce. He liked everything except the last point, which was your suggestion to make sure that you kiss in front of your kids, essentially showing your kids that there's a love affair going on in the home.
Between mom and dad.
Right, between mom and dad. Right. And the guy was, you know, had some experience of being uncomfortable when he heard, I guess, his parents having sex or something in the next room, and he equated that with kissing. But my feeling about the article was that the one thing I most agreed with was the last point, is that one of the most important things we parents can do is to show our kids what a healthy, loving relationship looks like. It shouldn't be behind closed doors. They should feel it. They should see mom and dad are in love with each other.
Yeah, I actually believe that, obviously, because I wrote it, but I believe it strongly. And, you know, oftentimes in my home, when my wife and I are being playful in a non-overt way, my younger son will just go, ooh, you know, and I'm glad he sees it. I think it's for everything that you just said and what I wrote in the column, I want him to see some love and affection between his mom and dad.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't, you know, shove it in their face and walk around unclothed or, you know, with the door open when you're being intimate. But it, you know, with discretion, it's a healthy thing to do.
Of course it is. Listen, we grow up and we're going to have relationships that look like our parents' relationships. I mean, that's our model. That, you know, our mom and dad showed us this is what a woman is, this is what a man is, and this is how they relate to each other. And it makes a strong impression millions of times in so many ways growing up. And dealing with men now, they're often, all the time, they're confronting those initial images because they're so ingrained.
You know, it's interesting. My wife and I had a pretty intense discussion last night that had to do with exactly this topic. And it was in the opposite directions. There was something that she experienced between her parents that she became very sensitive to as she got to be older. Has to do with criticism. So when I would potentially be critical, she would be reminded of these feelings that she witnessed in her home. And it helps me understand why she might get overly sensitive to what I perceive of as a minor criticism. The irony is that I grew up in the opposite environment, where my mother and father were so in love with each other, and my mother so completely supportive of my father, that I sort of have an expectation that modern women, my wife in specific, would be as unabashedly supportive of me as my mother was of my father. Now, of course, it was a different time, and the context for me is positive, that I look back at my parents in a positive way. But the irony, of course, is male and female roles have evolved since my parents' day. And so in its own way, my model is a little bit destructive in my expecting something unrealistic from my wife, in the same way that her slightly negative model makes her highly sensitive to some of the things I do. So what you're saying is completely on point.
Yes, sir.
And I know, you know, without, you know, that you had certain things that you witnessed and saw growing up that affected you in that regard.
That is our work, to become fully actualized men and women. It's our work to, decide who we want to be sometimes, oftentimes, in spite of what we saw growing up. You know, we learned so many things. We get to be adults, and we believe that, well, this is just the way we are. And a lot of people are stuck in what they're doing, even in all the negative habits, because they are just resigned. Well, this is how I am.
Or this is how it is, because that's what they experienced.
That's right. And one great thing about the group work is that men can see that the other men in the room are not seeing what they're seeing, that the perspective that we have is unique, based on our life experience, and that we could change it. We can start examining what expectations we've been trying to live up to and find out where they came from and then blow them up if they don't suit us anymore.
One of the most powerful things that I have found when I attended your weekends was when other men would share experiences about their fathers. And I had a very, very good dad. I wasn't around a lot because he worked hard, but I would hear these stories of dads that were not so good. And it was stunning to me. And here we have grown men, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or older at one of these weekends, who are still affected by that experience. So it is so clear that our parents influence our whole lives and our work as men and as women. Is to understand and overcome or embrace the good that we got from them.
That's right. And to not blame.
Yes. Or not hold on to it.
Yeah, a lot of working with the men, they don't want to acknowledge, initially, they don't want to acknowledge criticisms that they might have of their dad. Maybe he's not around anymore, or he's old now and he's not the same guy he was before. And what I let them know is that we're not trying to blame them, but you have to understand where this came from. You know, you are your father's son. You saw a lot of things happen, and that became your reality. So there's resistance at the beginning of that process. But I tell you, I encourage the men listening and the women who are hearing this and know that this is an issue for their men, to really encourage them to look into it, because it can make the world a difference when you acknowledge and you let this go, and then you start focusing on the man and the father and the husband that you really want to be.
Well said. Good point. Wayne, we are out of time. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, I'm sitting at my desk in Southern California, but if you're out of the area, you can go to bettermencoaching.com and pick up a copy of my book, Hold On To Your Nuts, The Relationship Manual for Men, and see what we're doing to help guys out.
Thank you, Wayne. We'll see you next week. It is time for a break. We will be back with Pastor Drew Sams and Teen Rap.